Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The Astrology Hour can be heard weekdays from 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesday's special expanded edition from 12 noon to 2 o'clock. And happy Tuesday to you all. All right, we have a hotter than hot show for you today. I'm very excited about it. Hard topic, heavy topic. The illusion of separation is going to be discussed in today's Astrology Hour. And I am going to try to figure out why, in all of its madness, the God Force decided to create this illusion. We're going to come up with some logical possibilities and options. And then we get down to identifying this loneliness we have manifest. We will, at that point, try to figure out how to escape the third dimension and overcome the illusion of separation. So a very powerful metaphysical show for you on this two-hour Tuesday edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio. And hello, this is Farley, and the transits are running hot. Let me tell you something. If you have Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn planets, you're already prone to anger and upset. And with four planets stellium in Capricorn and the moon headed there, because the moon will be in Libra, I believe, over the weekend, a lot of people are freaking out and going berserk. There's a lot of emotional outrage happening, and it's a little frightening because you wonder what some of the world leaders are going to be going through. We got a Libra moon for next weekend, so if you're listening in March of 1988, so the Ides of March are upon us. And I think the mantra here is cooler heads will prevail. Stop and smell the roses. Know that you are loved. And you know who I'm talking to out there. Okay, let's get into this topic. The illusion of separation. This is a very, very heavy topic because what I realized yesterday, and I always talk with some of my closest spiritual pals when I discuss this subject, and also my sister, too, who is a therapist. My sister's like my therapist. Free therapy for Farley. Call up my sister Melanie. Is that people are really lonely. I think one thing that people are really in touch with more than anything, and one sort of force that drives us to do things in life, is this feeling of loneliness. And it's frightening. You know, it's scary to think that sometimes getting a pet like a cat or a dog or some birds, because some people just don't like people or they don't feel comfortable with them. And sometimes if they have a pet, they feel like they can have a little bit more control. Even though that pet might not be the best, cats and dogs have their moods too, believe it or not, or they could have an accident in the house or whatever, or actually intentionally have an accident, like a cat that might get mad at you and go in your wardrobe and mess it up or whatever. If you think about the things that you are driven to do in your life out of loneliness, let's think about this, like relationships. Like a lot of people believe that getting involved, having commitment, and getting married is going to resolve loneliness. Some of the loneliest people in the world are already married. Doesn't resolve it. Sometimes even when you're married, you find you even need more space than ever from people. And a lot of times, it is a rare marriage that really is so bonded that can overcome the loneliness within the individuals. Like when you really love someone, it is important to communicate to them that you're never really separated from them. Whether you live or die, whether you travel or not, the truth of, I think, of soul twins is that they live within each other's hearts. And whether they're there in the physical or not, you know, I think people make a mistake to think that the only time you are truly bonded, and hence why sex has become such a major obsession, is when you have the physical intercourse. And that is the symbol of the connection that almost temporarily voids out the illusion of separation, because two people become one, and of course if they're heterosexual, in order to create another, which conceives the child. So a lot of people attempt to escape their illusion of separation through intercourse, but as you know, because all things in life are fleeting, sex is not something you can do 24 hours a day. So true love really exists in the hearts of those that know they are one with all, and especially know that they are forever within the heart of the one single person they may hold dear more than other people. So saying things to someone you love, like, know that I am always in your heart, wherever you go and wherever you are, know that Farley is there with you. Saying things like that really do help one overcome the loneliness and the illusion of separation. Because, see, we all have this feeling of being alone, and some people are so fanatical about overcoming their loneliness. Look at what they do. They manifest bad relationships, which makes life even more lonely or miserable. Okay, number one. Number two, they can have a whole house full of children. And just because you have children doesn't mean you're going to be close to those children. Because you can manifest even being lonelier in case, for some reason, the kids don't feel you raise them properly, or you just don't feel as close to those kids. And the truth of the matter is that you're one with the kids, and you're one with your husband and wife, and you're one with the universe, and there is only one being. But because we are constantly reminded of being separate because of these bodies we inhabit, these shells, these feelings of loneliness seem to prop up. They crop up on us, and they frighten us. And then they lead us down strange avenues. A lot of people try to escape their loneliness through addiction. Eating, when you eat food, you fill yourself up with other entity essence. Animals and vegetables and minerals, these are living beings. And we fill up on these things. Or drugs and alcohol. We try to escape our illusion of separation, the loneliness, by loading up on intoxicants, by killing ourselves, smoking. It's like a cigarette becomes a friend, or a joint, or some cocaine. And people are always running around trying to overcome this loneliness, this illusion of separation. So you can see in your everyday activities being motivated to do things in your life just because you're lonely. I think I'll go out tonight. I think I'll go bar hopping. I think I'll try and look for a friend. I think I'll try and do this. I think I'll try and do that. Because even when you meet people that you love, like, you can look at all your relationships of the people you love the most, and you'll notice that because we are human, and because karma is a law that controls much of our humanity, that most of our relationships, our closest ones, are also karmic. The same time you love people very much, whether it's a mother or a father or a sister or a brother or a friend or a child or even a pet, that you'll have your moments when both of you are very close, and then after a cycle goes by, the closeness may drift. And people may seem to come in and out of your life, and friends may seem to be closer and then farther apart from you. It's like the waves. It's like the ocean, where people come in and they go out. And this is the constant test that we are confronted with under this illusion of separation that God has created on this dimension and this planet, and the loneliness that goes along with it. And then I sit down and I said to myself in the car today before the show, why in God's name would this massive creative force create such a painful process? It's like you think to yourself, if God is really this merciful force, then in heaven's name, where did all this evil come from? And where did all this obsession come from? And all this negativity and this worry and this pain? The point of the matter is that if you want to define God, if you want to define what the essence of God is, more than just limiting it to like one individual force that is almost in any way identifiable to human nature, what I like to see the God force as is a creative mass. A mass that creates, and it creates whatever it wants to. So there's no law written that this mass has to create everything that is beautiful. And I know a lot of people like to walk around and say, well, God is beauty, God is love, God is wonderful, God is pure. But in my search for further truth and in my open-mindedness and understanding that all things I have sensed in this universe are touched by the God spark, whether they're good or evil, you got to understand that there may be a negative side to this electromagnetic force. Just like a battery has a positive and a negative pole, the God force also must have this positive or negative pole, which can either manifest what we would call things of beauty, love, vibration, positive feeling, tenderness, caring, compassion, or the negative side, which would be the obsession, the selfishness, the greed, the avarice, the limitation, the separation, the loneliness. So maybe the God force in all of its purity is not so pure. And maybe the method behind the madness of this creative process through its eternal existence is to have a wave that goes forward and backward, where it is a majority pleasant and pure and loving it at certain times throughout the cycle of eternity, and that at others there is a balance where things become black and dark and evil and negative. It's like a wave or a heartbeat or like breathing. And that's almost the way I feel this creative force is. Why did it happen? Maybe it was an accident during an experiment, like the creation of this dimension, the creation of people, manifesting material objects, like maybe the first man, maybe you could call him Adam, and Eve, and tasting the apple, you know, finally digesting another entity in this dimension, kind of led them down the road of obsession to create a desire. Maybe it was a planned game. A lot of us like to play games like backgammon, chess, computer games like this Nintendo deck is taken off. Hundreds of millions of these games are sold. Maybe this is a natural part of the God force to play a game where there are winners and losers and where there is a good and evil power. And then again, maybe it is the nature of God, a natural balance, matter versus spirit, good versus evil. Could also be a natural process of cell division. The creative process works on desire to manifest, on desire to create. So you have to believe, if you believe in God, like I do, that the power of God manifested this illusion. It was us. We were the ones that manifested the separation because we desired to have maybe a test or a game, something interesting in this eternity of manifestation that would create what else? I guess knowledge, expansion, and just like being an artist, creating whatever it is. Once manifest, things can develop into an antithesis of the true spirit of God, which I hope is loving. But there's no guarantee that the true spirit of God is loving. What if the true spirit of God was actually satanic? Who's to say? You know, with so much evil prevalent in this dimension, what if the true spirit of God was negative? You know, it's something to think about. Maybe it's something that we're all striving to turn around to the white side, to the bright side. And given the choice, the participants in this great game called life are given the choice to stay and be obsessed and be desirous, or to evolve beyond to hopefully what the original source was, the truth of love and light. And I see astrology as a way to analyze this illusion of separation. Isn't it interesting? When we're born in this dimension, the planets, the sun, the moon, all the stars exist, literally charging the universe in an awesome electromagnetic process. And we as individuals we lose our oneness when we are born. The price of being incarnated in this dimension, obviously, is separation, loss of our true consciousness, obsession, desire, loneliness, the power to create whatever we believe, whatever we think. We still have the power of God, even though we don't know it, right? We still have it. And we have these emotions and the law of karma, which controls it. So see, that's why astrology is important, because when you're born and when you find out your astrology chart, where your planets are, then you can identify your separation. You can identify your karma. And see, once you decide to manifest in this dimension, then there's a price you pay, the karmic price, which means if you damage this dimension or others in it, then you must remain here until it's all corrected, until a balance is right. So that's why I like to use astrology to help me overcome the illusion of separation, try to figure out my karma, and try to plug back into the oneness of God, because sometimes life on earth can be a bit too painful unless you do feel one with God and unless you can overcome your own loneliness. Heavy topic. When I was growing up, I was coming to California in a bus. I was young. I was about 12, 13 years old. And the first contact I had, for example, with a gay gentleman who was like 60 or 70, man, he assaulted me on the bus. You know, so talk about homophobic for quite a while there. I thought to myself, this is the wrong way to get involved in understanding what being gay is about. But same thing with a lot of people that are into heterosexual sex. Heterosexual people could meet people and they'll try to get raped by them or something. There's just so much fear that's bred sometimes by maybe one or two individuals, a few individuals that try to throw themselves on other people. And I think the thing that helped me understand my loneliness, and I was so lonely when I was a little boy for sure, no question about it. A lot of times mom was too busy, dad was at work, Melanie was out dating, and all there I was alone in my room or with my toy soldiers or my train and not too many friends. And there was a lot of fear and anxiety there, you know, sometimes when you feel that lonely. So wow, was I glad when astrology and metaphysics and meditation came into my life to explain this mess that I was in. So a lot of times I think part of the reason why I'm alive is to help share this information with other people too. We talk about a lot of heavy things every day. I'm always interested in further comments on this topic or any topic I do, never ever claiming to be an expert or forming any bottom lines. I throw food for thought out to this dimension. So we realize now why we're so lonely, and we realize now why we have pain, and we realize now why we have certain desires, because we are trying to create a oneness in our life, something that will last. I used to have a vision when I first got into sex that I could walk around with a woman attached to me, and that way I wouldn't feel so alone all the time. That's why a lot of men and a lot of women are so obsessed with connection with other people, and that's why so many people are so promiscuous and so passionate, because they want that oneness. You know, people that have water in their charts, Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer sometimes are into more sexual contact because of the oneness they feel, the kundalini bonding sometimes they feel when they make love with other people. And, you know, some people can reach some high levels of consciousness when they get into lovemaking, so they say. But anyway, so now we've seen why this illusion has been created. And now there suddenly seems to be a method behind the madness in God's eternal existence of creativity. I guess anything can be created that can be thought of. So we ourselves are responsible of manifesting what we have. But then once we're in this dimension, once we've manifested this, some people are not happy with it. And some people don't like the loneliness. Some people don't like the fact that whatever they try to do, it doesn't resolve the loneliness. So the question is posed to me so oftentimes, what can we do about it, Farley? What can we do about the loneliness? Because, you know, I love my mother and I love my father and I love my sister and all my friends. And I am forever one with them. And no matter what they do, no matter where they go, I will always be with them. And money doesn't buy love. Throwing a party for somebody or buying someone a present or giving them a big wedding or giving them a bar mitzvah or buying them a car or sending them to college or, you know, money doesn't buy love. This is something that is in the heart. But some people judge love by money, by how much somebody puts out. And that is really an unfair test. Because the test requests of another person, it says to them, I am lonely and I need you to prove your love to me by spending money on me. You know, and this is after you could give someone tons of attention, tons of love vibrations, tons of laughter, and tons of good time, and then they expect a financial return in order to validate that kind of love. And that to me is wrong. It's not just, it's unjust that people do that. But there's all kinds of tests that go on in this universe, in this dimension, where people get hurt because they try to cross the material with the spiritual. Well, how do you escape this dimension? Or how do you overcome the illusion of separation and live down here in peace with yourself? Well, the main way that I do it is this mantra that know that you are one. Know that you are loved and know that you are one. And know that really, you know, this song, we are the world, we are the children. Now that is really true. We are the world, we are the children. Only your own limitations will limit you. People put so much emphasis in their bodies, in their shells, in their own uniqueness, in their own beauty. God bless you if you're beautiful. God bless you. But we all live in this ether, in this fiber, where we all are connected. We are all connected and bonded. And your bodies may be wonderful, but no matter who you are with or no matter who you are without, you are still connected to everyone. To everyone. And knowing you are one, and feeling the oneness that you share with all beings, with all creatures, definitely can help abate that loneliness. And that's why some people are happy in their loneliness. They embrace their loneliness, and they know that it is just an illusion. And especially with those that you truly love, that you are closest to, that I call soul twins, are people that are part of your own soul cell, our soul molecule, that helps lead you back to the road of oneness, to the road that helps overcome your illusion of separation. You can embrace your loneliness, know that it is an illusion, and let the people know that you love, that you are in their hearts, that you reside there inside of their bodies, that your soul is one with their soul. Communicate that to them. Some people cannot live unless they have a physical presence with them. So they enslave people. They entrap people. They say, you can't go there. They have this jealousy and this aversion. If your mate wants to go out and have an affair, they're going to have an affair. You're still going to be one with them. Whether you're with them, without them, divorced, or married, if you really feel the oneness with that individual, then no matter what they do, you're going to still feel one with them. So why crucify them for it? If that's the way they are, then that's the way they are, but you can still feel one with them because you are one with them. Same with obsessions and desires. Some of our obsessions and desires are things that we manifest to try to abate loneliness. Like people get obsessed to get married. Sometimes they get married into a monster situation, and they thought this is a way to get them out of their loneliness. Are they obsessed with having children? And sometimes having children can be like having an anchor with a diaper on it. I saw Gallagher do that last night. Not all children are like that, of course. But it depends on your motive. You have children because you want to have these children, because you love these children. You don't have children because you're lonely. You have to zero in on the motive. Why are we having these children? Because they may be the only friends we have. That's the wrong reason to have a baby. But people do that. Even subconsciously, they do that. And then other ways, of course, becoming compassionate, reaching out to the planet, embracing the planet more as a family of man to yourself. I mean, your own personal physical family is important, but you're one with the universe. The entire world is not only your family, it is you. It's you. becoming things like selfless and humble, and knowing self-love without conceit, establishing yourself as a beacon of light, as a beacon of love, as a beacon of energy, and sharing this with others, also recharging yourself too, the best way you can, studying this illusion of separation, analyzing it, understanding it, respecting this dimension for what we have created, and basking in your own self-love and self-esteem to help others find the light, the further truth, and open-mindedness that help us understand this illusion of separation. So, I've done a lot of thinking about this, and it's important, really, that no one ever have to feel lonely. Because when we get to a point where no one feels alone, where everyone feels bonded, and knows that we're all one, then truly, truly, will we reach the God consciousness state, the messianic state of consciousness. Because that is really the true emotion behind messianic consciousness, oneness of God philosophy, and overcoming the illusion of separation and the illusion of loneliness, which, as we know, can be very painful. And know that you are loved. Let's go to the phones. And let's talk to Chris, a Libra with Sag rising. And did you relate to the topic, Chris?
Yes, I did. In fact, I think I'm farther along than I give myself credit for.
All right.
So I feel pretty good about that because I spend a lot of time alone and I enjoy it and I don't think I'm running away from anything. It's interesting to me.
I used to be so frightened when I was alone before I got into metaphysics real intense. And it's so true that people don't know what to do with themselves because they're scared. So they damage themselves. They do what they can to hurt themselves as bad as possible.
Well, you know that thing about wanting to get married? I'm 36 and I've never been married.
Mm-hmm.
That's starting to happen to me, that, oh God, I think I should get married. But
it's like society's conditioning, and in fact, you are married to the universe anyway. So when you choose to get married, it's okay, but it's karma too, because you invest. It's like going into Vegas and saying, well, I want to play blackjack, or I'll play craps, or let's get married.
Right.
Okay, what can we do for you today?
Well, I tell you, I called because I just started listening to your program last week. It was just like a godsend. And I wanted to just ask a general question about my career. I'm in some heavy-duty decisions right now about getting my own office. I'm self-employed. And I just wanted to, planetarily, is the time ripe? Or
well, you have to be really careful. Because your career planet is Mercury, it's in Virgo, it's in your career house, the 10th house, it's late, and Uranus and, hello?
No, go, keep going.
Uranus and Saturn are both going to retrograde, go back into Sag. You've already been going through a lot of karma in this area the last 6 to 8 months anyway. And it's like, in this transit, you really have nothing to go on.
I don't.
Because it's going to last about another year, and almost anything you decide to choose can offer a lot of unrest, a lot of imbalance, and roller coaster effects.
No matter what I choose.
Yeah, so the best thing to do is either try to hold on to what you've got or try to manifest something that's stable with little investment where you're more your own boss, more in control. Like being a counselor or an astrologer, of course, is always a way out because when you get into metaphysics, then the dimension in God seems to help you because you become a beacon. And when you're a beacon, it's like it seems like you get a big assist from the universe. Good luck, okay?
Okay, thanks, Farley.
Bye. Let's go to Sandra, Pisces, Gemini rising. Hi.
Hi.
March 14th, 61.
Yes.
Did you relate to the topic?
Yes, very much.
Good. Do you feel lonely sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. What can we do for you?
I'd like to know about the spiritual and karma that you see in my chart.
The spiritual karma I see in your chart?
Yeah.
Why, do you feel like you have spiritual karma?
No, my spiritual path and the karma that you see in my chart.
Mm-hmm.
I just got my astroscope, and I don't understand it very well yet.
You should probably pick up the book Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith. Would you write that down?
Yes, I'm writing it.
Secrets from a Stargazer's Notebook by Debbie Kempton Smith.
Oh, I see.
No one's spiritual path, everyone really has a similar spiritual path because the choice is always between the material world and the spiritual world. So no matter what your astrological planets are, the choice is very simple. It's either light or dark. You know, you either go for obsessions and materialism, or you go for the spirit nature of the universe, love and oneness of God concepts and family of man. So the fact that you do have Neptune in Scorpio, you were born in a very spiritual generation, but with all this Capricorn in your chart, with Jupiter and Saturn in Capricorn, you could be yet another person obsessed with success and money and career and acquisition. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Bye. Let's go to another general comment. Rosa Day, hi.
Hello, Farley. How are you?
Fine. What can we do for you?
Well, you know, I have a question, sort of. Why is it that even people that are, they say, on the spiritual path, it still kind of discriminate in, you know, with each other? They seem to go off into little groups here and there, you know, what we used to call little cliques. And they don't really open up themselves to everybody. You know, they don't really connect in all levels to all beings. I'm finding that out. And I had a very unusual week. Last week was my unusual week. And I felt that experience. I went to several get-togethers, and it was like there were this group of people very happy sharing experiences with each other. And I walk in very open, very, you know, with a very loving nature, and the response wasn't equal. And then I started thinking, well, could it be with my appearance, my background, being maybe belonging to a minority group? I am Hispanic, you know, I was born in Central America. Could it have anything to do with these things? And I started thinking, but these are not reasons to feel separated. You know, we're at the stage where we should feel we're brothers and we're so united in the spiritual plane. Why is this difference happening here?
Even Jimmy Swaggart can make a mistake. It's like people are just children. And even though we grow old and we think we're smart and we claim to be adults, the childlike consciousness remains. And no matter how highly evolved people think they are or people claim to be, and some of these people out there thinking that they're masters, the human quality remains. And the separation, you know, it not only remains between individuals, but it also remains in the way people discriminate with each other and the way people try to form these little cliques and groups. And no, it's not spiritual. But, you know, it's hard to find people that are perfectly spiritual, Rosa Day. The best thing you can do is love them, whatever they're doing, and know that even though you're not physically involved in their group spiritually, you are bonded to everyone. So in a spiritual way, you're involved in the group. And frankly, I personally wouldn't hang out with a group of people like that anyway. Because see, there's hypocrisy everywhere in every sector, and even people that claim to be spiritual, like myself. I've been called a hypocrite because I can be human around people that know and love me, and they'll say, well, Farley, you're on the radio, and you claim to be that. Well, I don't claim to be anything. I try to teach people what I know is right, and I try to vibrate to that light too, but I slip because, you know, sometimes with awesome power comes awesome responsibility. And as spiritual as some people can try to be or claim to be, they can always have a setback and they can always retreat back into their competitive, obsessive, desirous, angry natures. And sometimes it's like the wave. And there's a balance that's needed there where some people can, maybe one day you might go and all these people will be out in cliques. And then a month later, all of a sudden they'll start befriending you and accept you, you know, and something will happen. Some kind of thing will trigger where they suddenly want to be joined with you also. And then when you get in their group, you can ask them. You can, at that point, you can say, well, wow, why did it take you so long to accept me? I thought this was supposed to be a united group here.
Right.
So if you show patience, maybe you'll be able to burst in the group, and then you can serve as their teacher. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Debbie on line 7, April 3rd, 56. Thank you for calling, Debbie.
Thank you, Farley. Excellent topic.
Yeah, well, I'm trying. Today I feel a little unnerved because I'm having a Mars opposed Venus. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings out there. But sometimes some of my examples, individual groups might take offense to it. But it's like, and these are just personal experiences I've had and stuff, you know.
Well, I hope a lot of people were listening because it certainly has helped me
okay.
Get into metaphysics and help me with, you know, my separation.
You're ready for a rising sign, kid.
I know. Just wanted a general scan as to what's coming up.
Are you married?
No, I'm not.
Boy, you have a major roller coaster of karma with relationships here. It's like they come in and you get all excited and all jazzed about commitment and permanency and stuff, and then what a shattering. It's like a bursting of an illusion, like a balloon popping here, and then it's like make-up, break-up type stuff.
That's true.
Have you gone with people when it's been like that?
I have.
Wow. You know what that's from?
What?
Uranus in Cancer, oppose your Mars in Capricorn, Neptune in Libra, T-square it, because it's square your Uranus and then square your Mars. And then you have Venus in Taurus trine it. You have the best aspect astrologers love, Venus trine Mars, that can bring people into your life, then a T-square on your Mars to blow them out. So sometimes you may prefer being alone, if you know what I mean.
That's true. Sometimes I do.
Mm-hmm. You are shown being a teacher and being a counselor and like a New Age herald, and you are shown having an extremely karmic chart with people in life, and that way you learn and you gain experiences that help you share and help others, and your destiny in life may be to end up being a New Age herald or counselor of some kind.
Okay,
thank you, hon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Stella on line 5, who is a Scorpio. Hi, Stella.
Hi.
Thank you for calling.
I wanted some, what's happening with me now anyway?
Did you understand the topic?
Yes, I did.
You want to comment on it?
It was interesting.
It was? Do you feel lonely sometimes?
Sure, I think everybody does.
Do you feel extremely nervous lately?
Yes.
Have you been irritable and explosive?
Yes.
Have you been having fights with your boyfriend?
My husband, yes.
You feel like divorcing him?
How did you know?
Well, listen, Stella, it's my job to know this stuff.
I filed already.
Yeah. I was going to say you need some space from him, but if you've already made the choice, then...
Well, it's hard. My choice, my decision kind of comes and goes.
You're having an aspect in your chart right now where it would be difficult to get along with almost any man. So it's not really a good time for you to begin new relationships or to try to hang on to anything you might have.
He's also a Scorpio.
Oh, wonderful. Now, isn't that special? So I think both of you probably need a couple of light years of space between you. You are shown much better life vibration overall as we get deeper into March and April. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, keep meditating and get yourself charted and follow some metaphysical concepts, in my opinion, and you'll be a lot better off for it.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, love.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Jean, a Sagittarius. How are you, Jean?
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I have a question. I don't know a whole lot about astrology, but I've listened to you for a couple times now, and I'd like to know something about myself. Is that possible to ask?
Sure. I can try and help validate how it works if you want. Okay. You are somebody that probably is very much interested in career, because as a Sagittarius, you have the planet Mars in Capricorn, which is very success-oriented. Now, if it wouldn't be you, it's the person you would be in a relationship with, you would like to be also probably successful, are very practical, and have a lot of common sense. And this area, by the way, of relationships is what we call very karmic, because you might find it difficult to find perfection in love or romance. Then you have Venus in Libra, so you do prefer to have balance in your life. You enjoy having things together, even though sometimes, oftentimes, they're not always together. As far as being a Sag is concerned, Jean, you're not the typical Sag at all, so you might not fit any of that sun sign stuff you read in the paper.
No, I don't.
Yeah, because most of your other planets are scattered in a lot of other signs besides Sag, such as Pisces, Taurus, Virgo, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So you do run the gamut there as far as being a very much different than just an ordinary Sagittarius person.
Oh.
Now, wait a second. You have a very deep mind. You like sometimes thinking about mysterious things. You could have secrets. Sometimes it could be hard to express yourself. You could be very shy and introvert at times. And you may build things up inside of you also. Does that sound like you?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that sounds good.
So get yourself a chart, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.